Going to continue. We're going to conclude today the series that we began 6 weeks ago. This is part six. We're going to conclude it today. We've gone back into the Old Testament. We've learned a life lesson from several Old Testament characters. And I think that God put them in our Bible. So I'm so glad we just don't study the New Testament. Thank God for the New Testament. But thank God there's so many things that we can learn out of that Old Testament. And part of it has, our heritage has to do with the men and the women of the Old Testament, where we see their lives and we see what they did, good and bad. And one thing that we have learned through this series is God don't use great people. God takes ordinary people and does great things through them. And so we're always looking, we see these people that are very gifted and very talented and all of this, and if I was only gifted and talented, then maybe I could do something for God. God is not looking for just gifts and talents. He's looking for people who are just available. And He can take, let me just tell you one story. Way back, and we were in this church, but our worship team was kind of developing, and anybody remember Bo Riddle? Bo Riddle used to be our guitar player, and this young boy that was in high school wanted to really learn how to play the guitar, and he was just starting. So he played behind Bo Riddle, and he learned to play his guitar. And his name was Seth Flood. And you ought to hear that dude play a guitar now. In fact, he's on staff at New Life Church in Conway, and he is writing music. He is playing music. And he is phenomenal. But you know where he started out? Not knowing how to play. And now he's doing great things. But he's just an ordinary guy. He's great because of what God has done in his life, but he was just available. And so God took a very young, ordinary teenager that just grows up in church and did great things with him. And I'm looking for that to happen in many, many lives. Not only our kids, but also our adults. God wants to do something great with you too. Amen. We're all destined to do good things for God. So we look back and we started with Noah. And we learned the life lesson that we learned from Noah was that one person can make a difference. Thank God for Noah. We're here today because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah built a boat. And everybody died except Noah and his family. And they started over. And we're all descendants somehow of Noah. And one man made a difference because God was going to destroy mankind. The second week we talked about Joseph. Joseph was the great dreamer. God put a dream in his heart. And Joseph's message to us is don't give up on your dreams. Because I believe God puts dreams in our hearts. And I'm not just talking about something you do while you're asleep. I'm talking about something that occupies your mind. What you think about in the quiet moments and what you see yourself doing and accomplishing in life, both spiritually and otherwise. And I believe that God puts dreams in our hearts and then He goes about to fulfill those dreams. So we don't need to give up on our dreams. Joseph struggled with his dreams. All of his circumstances seemed to say that there's no way that this dream can come to pass. But you know what? He stayed true to God, and God worked in his life, and God, Joseph was in prison. We talked about the lower story and the upper story, and we have that going on today. The life that we live is kind of our story here on earth, but what we don't realize is that there's something happening that we don't see. It's called the upper story. It's God working things in us and for us on our behalf, and what is needed is when we see that upper story and lower story come together in that God moment where we accomplish what He's put in our hearts, the dream. So Joseph was the dreamer. The next week we talked about Moses. And Moses' message was, get out of the safe zone and live in the faith zone, where it's so easy for us to live in our comfort zones, to be comfortable where we are. And we like comfort. We like ease. We don't like breaking through to new things, and because there's always a barrier of fear out there. But God wants us to get out of our comfort zones, to take a step through the curtain of fear and get out in the faith zone where He can become involved with our lives in a greater way. And when we do that, that thing that we accomplish in the faith zone becomes our new normal. And then God pushes us again to get out of our comfort zones and step into the next zone. And that's how we grow. We don't grow when we're comfortable. Have you ever noticed you don't accomplish anything by laying on the couch and being comfortable? You don't build a body by being a couch potato. You got to go to the gym. You got to go. You got to get out and walk. You got to swim. You got to do something. And that's the way it is. And it's not comfortable to do those things sometimes. But that was Moses' message. And then the next week we talked about Rebekah. And Rebekah was the lady with the generous heart, the generous lifestyle. And we learned that generosity is a way of life. And it's a way of life for all believers. God wants us to be generous people, not only with our finances, but even greater than just our finances, He wants us to be generous with ourselves, with our time, with our personality, with our giftings. He wants us to be a blessing to people all around us. And you know, there are some things that you can do to be generous that don't cost you anything out of your pocket. Now, there's some things that generosity, you're going to have to get your pocketbook out in order to accomplish. But there are some things that you can do that don't cost you a dime. Something that you can do every day of your life to be a generous person. So we need to learn about the lifestyle of generosity. Last week we talked about Abraham. And we found out that God always does the right thing. And that we need to learn to trust the heart of God. We need to learn to trust the character of God. Because God is always at work on our behalf to accomplish His will and His word in us. And like I say, it's the lower story and the upper story as they run parallel. And God is working. God is working when you can't feel God. God is working when you can't see His hand. So when you can't see His hand, you need to learn to trust His heart. And this is huge. This is huge. You think about this. Because I think that we all have an inborn fear where God is concerned. What if God doesn't like me? And I don't know how we can even say that when we look around to see what He's provided for us. The air that you breathe. I mean, the whole creation is a design of love. It's designed to sustain life. It's designed to sustain growth. It's designed to sustain increase. The seeds that we plant in the ground that gives us our food. God designed that. God designed that. He's the designer of that. He is a good God. But it's so easy many times for some of us to mistrust God. Because sometimes we don't like ourselves. We fail. We've fallen short. But God loves us. And God wants to bless us. And we need to get in harmony with what God is doing and what God wants to do in our lives. We need to trust that He always has our best interest at heart. Even when we push away, even when we resist, we may have bad consequences. But listen, that's not God's fault. Usually that's our fault. That's our fault. The more resistant we are, God will let you resist. He said, okay, that's what you want, get it. He told Israel one time, I don't want you to have a king, but we want a king. Okay, have a king. It wasn't a blessing to them. Saul was not a blessing to Israel. But God still worked on their behalf, even though they went against God. And finally, if they would fall in line with God, He would bless them. And that's the way it is. God loves us, and God is committed to us. Today we're going to talk about one of the favorite people in all the Bible, who has a wonderful name. His name is David. Isn't David a great name? Wow, I think that's the greatest name there is the name of David. It means beloved. Don't that fit? Don't that fit so well? Yeah. I love it. But you know what? David didn't always have it easy. Sometimes we look at great men in the Bible and we think, oh, he was so gifted. He was so this. I mean, he could play a harp and he could write psalms and if I was just half the man he was. Listen, David struggled with life. David struggled with life. And so today we're going to talk about limitations and overcoming the limitations that people put on us. I look at our children, and have you ever noticed that how creative kids are? Their imaginations are wonderful. I've sat, and when we go camping sometimes, we sit around the campfire, and Ethan will start telling a story. It takes him 45 minutes to tell a story. I'm thinking, would you please end this story? But he has such an imagination. He goes on and on and on. I mean, I think there's some writing potential in there. And, have you ever, you give kids a few little cars and a little bulldozer and stuff and how they go out and they'll create roads and cities or you give them something, a box, an empty box. Have you ever noticed what kids can come up with playing with an empty box? And we think that we have to give them PlayStations, and I think that a lot of that stifles their creativity. And I think many times of what we do, try to do for our kids' entertainment goes more against them being creative than it goes before them being creative. But kids are creative. But somehow, as we grow older, it just seems like that just leaks out of us. And we lose our imaginations and we lose our creativity and we just kind of fall into the cadence of the world. It's off to work I go. You just fall in this cadence of life. And you want to be different, but you're doing the same thing that everybody else is doing. Being different. But you're not being different. You're being the same. We've lost something. We've lost something. And many times it's because people tell us that we can't. You can't do that. You can't be that. And David faced this. So His message to us today is that you can overcome the limitations others put on you. And there were several people in his life that told him that he couldn't. And the first one was his father. Dads, we need to be encouragers of our kids. We don't need to squelch their dreams. We don't need to put them down. We don't need to tell them that they're stupid. We don't need to tell them that they're never going to amount to anything. Mama, don't ever say to your son, you're just like your daddy. You'll never amount to anything. Don't say that because you put limitations on them. And David's dad, here's the thing. See, Jesse didn't think David had king potential. You remember the story? King Saul messed up and God rejected him from being king. And he told the prophet, you go to Jesse's house and there you're going to find the next king. So the prophet goes to Jesse's house and he says, now listen, Jesse, the Spirit of the Lord told me to come here. He says, he's going to anoint one of your sons. He didn't tell me who to be the next king. So Jesse starts parading his sons before the prophet. Started with Eliab, the oldest. Now I want you to see something here. In 1 Samuel 16:6. So it was that when they came, that he looked at Eliab and said, this is talking about the prophet, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Eliab looked like a king. Big, strapping, strong, handsome. All of the right attributes of being a king. But God says, you're looking at the outside, I look at the inside. And a lot of times we look at kids, we look at, and our people look at you, and they don't see greatness. They don't see you being able to do something. And they kind of put you down. Say, you can't do that. And it's funny because they paraded all of the sons before the prophet, and the Lord said, no, 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 no. And finally the prophet says, what, have I missed something? Do you have any more kids? He said, oh yeah, 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 I got one. He's out in the field and he's keeping the sheep. See, he did not esteem the fact that his son, his youngest son, had king potential. And it's not how we start. This is the neat thing. Because, you know, we come into this life empty, blank, and not very bright. We have to learn, don't we? And sometimes we expect our kids to think like adults, and they don't, do they? Do you know kids just can drive you up the wall sometimes? You ever notice that about your kids? There's no wonderful kids. They're just kids, and they think like kids. Their brains are not developed. And he did not see his youngest son, probably a teenager at the time, as having king potential. But the prophet said, bring him in. We're not going to do anything until you pass him before me. And when he did, the Spirit of the Lord says, that's the one I've chosen. He didn't look like a king. He wasn't ready to be a king. In fact, there's some things that's going to have to happen in his life before he can become the king. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he received the spirit of a king. And that began to work in his heart from that point forward. But you know what? His dad didn't see that potential. His dad didn't esteem that his son could do something like that. He put limitations on him. I don't want to do that, do you? There's a Ray Bolt song that was written years ago. In fact, Vicki Wilkes used to sing it here every now and then. But here's a piece of the chorus. It's called Shepherd Boy. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just a moment he can touch you and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. See, what does he see when he looks at you? The second group of people that put limitations on David were his brothers. How many of you know that sometimes your family can be your greatest critics? Now don't look to the right. Sometimes your family can be your greatest critics. After all, they know you. They know your flaws. They know your faults. They know your weaknesses. But you know what? God knows you too. He knows your faults, He knows your flaws, and He knows your weaknesses, and He still loves you, and He still sees potential in you. And we, listen, parents and friends and whatever, we need to be able to see the faults and the flaws and the weaknesses of people and still see the potential in them. We do. We do. We need to be encouragers of people. Now let's take a step back. Let me ask you a question. Are you a positive person or are you a negative person? Are you an encourager or a discourager? Let me tell you one way that you can look. Go look at your Facebook post. Go look at the things that you post on Facebook. And you may think you're positive, but when you begin to look at what you say, what you post, what you say to people, You may need to repent. You may be a discourager of people rather than an encourager. Can I say it's easier to discourage than it is to encourage? I mean, you know how dumb they are. It's obvious. You can see how dumb they are. And God sees how dumb you are. And He still encourages us, doesn't He? Well, Israel went to war with the Philistines. And some of Jesse's sons, including Eliab, went and joined the army. Now, guess where David went when he was anointed to be king? He went back out to take care of the sheep. I bet he scratched his head. King, sheep. King, sheep. Am I going to be king of sheep? Yes. See, you don't get to start where you're going. You start where you are. And if you're not willing to do the insignificant things, you'll never do the great things. Reminds me of the story of Pooh. Church camp one year, we had a little boy. He couldn't... He's a little bitty fella. He had to go to the bathroom. But he wasn't big enough to climb up on the pot. So he backs up to the pot, ready, aims, fires. He poos on the pot. It runs down the front of the pot. It gets in his swimsuit. It gets on the floor. He steps in it and he tracks it out towards the swimming pool. He had it in his hair. We found it. We followed the yellow brick road. We followed the trail until we found the culprit. I couldn't find any women who could take care of it. And it was left up to me and Joe. So we brought him back in there. We cleaned the... Well, I took the little boy in the shower, stripped him down, washed him off, you know, got it out, and Joe cleaned the pot. We call that the ministry of poo. If you're not willing to do the ministry of poo, you're never going to do anything significant. You're not. And sometimes when you're doing something significant, you still have to stop and do the ministry of poo. You never get big, too big or too important that you can't do the ministry of poo. Now, this is going out online. Did you know that? Yikes. You can't say this in every church. If that offends you, I'm sorry. You probably don't belong here because this happens here quite often. Okay. So they go. His brothers go and they fight in the army. So one day, Jesse calls David in and says, listen, I want you to take this food. He gathered up a bunch of stuff. Said, I want you to take this to your brothers. Check on them and see how they're doing. And come back and give me a report. So there was something working in David. He wanted to be a warrior. Because that was part of being a king. You can't be a great king without being a great warrior. So he goes and he brings the food to his brothers. And in the midst of this, he hears all of the rumblings that's going on. He hears about Goliath that's out there challenging the armies of God and how that the armies of God are trembling at Goliath. And so he starts talking to people. Hey, what's up with that? Why are we not doing something about Goliath? And Eliab, the one that thought he was going to be king, that God passed over in 1 Samuel 17:28. Now Eliab, his older brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why did you come here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Can't you just hear him making fun of me? I'm a warrior, and all you're doing is taking care of a few sheep. Making fun of him. In fact, I think he was jealous myself. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. See, there was a warrior on the inside of him. But his brothers didn't think that he had warrior potential. They only saw him as having sheep potential. But that which was working on David was not pride. It was calling. But they put him down because they didn't see his potential. Isn't that good? And the ones who should have encouraged him discouraged him. The story goes on, and we see the next phase of the next person that puts David down. Goliath comes out for 40 days, and you know, Goliath is this honking big guy. He made Shaq look like a midget. Some Bible scholar says that he was over 9 foot tall. He was a warrior from his youth. He was a mighty warrior. And when he would come out and challenge the armies of Israel, he would curse them by the name of his gods. And he would challenge them. His challenge was, send out your greatest warrior. Come on out and we'll fight. And if you beat me, we'll serve you. But if I beat your warrior, then you become our servants. And David heard this. And guess what? The warrior in David rose up. Now, he's a teenager. He's not good with spears and arrows and armor. He's good with rocks. He wasn't painting them either and hiding them. Isn't that a cool thing to do? He was good with a slingshot, not like this, and not a slingshot like this, a slingshot like this. He was good with it. And so David goes to Saul and said, I'll go fight him. Send me, I'll go fight him. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You're talking about warrior rising up in him. You're talking about conqueror rising up in him. You're talking about champion rising up in him. But you know what? Saul didn't think David had champion potential. 1 Samuel 17:32. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight him with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he is a man of war from his youth. He says, it would be like Shaq playing basketball against my 10-year-old grandson. Him saying, come on, Shaq, I'm going to school you in basketball. That's kind of what it would be like. But you know what? Nobody else wanted to fight Goliath. So finally, Saul gave in. But he didn't think that David had the potential to be a champion. But he gives in, and he gives him his armor, he gives him his spear, he gives him his sword, and David puts it on, and it didn't fit. Saul was this big, tall guy. David is a youth. He takes it off, he goes down to the brook, and he gets 5 smooth stones. I got to go to that brook when I was in Israel. It's pretty neat. And he got 5 smooth stones, and he goes out to meet Goliath. And Goliath becomes the next one that puts David down. Because Goliath did not see him as a worthy opponent. Now, in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, verse 43. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you would come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. He says, you are going to be no challenge to me whatsoever. You know what David said? David says, this day you've defiled the armies of the living God, and this day I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to cut off your head with your own sword. And you know what? He did. But Goliath did not see him as a worthy opponent. Everywhere that David turned, he was told that he couldn't. But guess what? He did. And that which was sparked in his heart when he was anointed by the prophet to be king began to work in him until the day that he became king. It was not an easy journey, because not only was he put down, Saul tried to kill him. This lower story that was working, where it did not seem that God was even in the picture, all along God was in the upper story, working His way and His will until it came together in a... And David became king. One of the greatest kings that Israel has ever known. So, I love this John Maxwell quote. He says this, you can easily determine the caliber of a person by the amount of opposition it takes to discourage him or her. How much does it take to discourage you? Does it just take people putting you down and say that you can't? Listen, I want to tell you today, you can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God puts it in my heart to do, if God puts it in your heart to do, guess what? You can do it. Because He's working on your behalf to accomplish that. So let's end with three things here that David could say to us about limitations. Number one, limitations don't limit us unless we let them. In the end, you're the one who has to choose. Are you going to listen to the critic? Are you going to listen to God? Are you going to fall? Are you going to allow your image of yourself to be shaped by those who say you can't? Or are you going to allow it to be shaped by God's Word who says that you can? Number two, don't try to be someone else when others impose their limitations on you. Don't try to be somebody that you're not. There's only one you. All you become is a cheap imitation of someone else. This is a battle that I fought. Because I've had people say to me, boy, I wish you could preach like Brother so-and-so. And you find yourself trying to preach like Brother so-and-so. And it don't fit. I wish you was as good as so-and-so, so you find yourself trying to do something else like so-and-so. But I have been the most comfortable when I can just be who God called me to be. I'm not an evangelist. I don't preach and spit cotton. I'm a teacher. I want to teach people how to live. I want to encourage people to get into the Word and get the Word into them and the principles of life that you can live to be successful. Sometimes it's not inspiring, but that's not my calling. I want to inspire you through the Word. I want to inspire you to be better. But listen, I'm a line upon line. I'm a precept upon precept guy. Here's what we need to do. Number one, number two, number three. That's the way I'm wired and put together. And if I try to be something else, then I limit me. So don't become someone else because of limitations that others try to put on you. And here's the last one. When you rise above your limitation, you can help others rise above theirs. See, you can't help others if you haven't been helped. And this is the great thing about life. Because life is about conquering limitations that people put on us and that we put on ourselves. And when we do that, part of what our calling is about, that God does His work in you so that He can use you to do His work to someone else. He wants to flow through you. And your experience, whatever it is in life, where you've been, what you've done, what you failed at, what you've been good at, it doesn't matter. God takes that and you may hand Him a mess. I know people that have handed God a mess. They come just as they are, and they give God this big mess. They got this mess. Is that you making that racket back there? Man, don't steal my moment from me. Like Ron, handed God a big mess. And you know what? God can take that mess and He can unravel it. And He can take a mess and make it into something great. So don't ever think that you've messed up so bad that God can't do anything with your life. He can. He will. You can rise above it. Amen?
Amen.
I hate for this series to end. We can learn from others. God put those men in the Bible and those women in the Bible that we can look and learn and live. Amen? Let's stand together. Prayer team, would you come? Today, as we pray, if you have need prayer, we got people up here, and Miss Kay will be back by the sound booth if you want to go back there and pray. But whatever it is that you need to pray about, especially if you need to make Jesus Lord, if you've never invited Jesus into your life, do that today before you leave here. These can pray with you to do that. But if you have other needs, pray. Come and let them pray with you. Reach out to God. Don't allow limitations to limit your life. God is the one who takes the limits off. Amen. Father, thank You today. Thank You for King David. Thank You for his example, his life, both good and bad, that speaks to us and that we can learn from today. Lord, bless this word to Your people's heart today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would You come?